Today, I'm excited. I'm actually not speaking today. And the person who is speaking, I'm excited about for numerous reasons. But one is I've been able to personally know this individual now for over 10 years. And seeing the way that they follow Jesus, the way that they love God, not just on the public, but also in private, and the way that they pursue him, and the way that they love people, and the way that she also makes a difference in people's lives. And Catalyst Church, we started this on January 27th of this past year. And Catalyst Church, we would not be here if it was not for her. She was instrumental, and honestly, as we were planting the church, the idea of Catalyst, the vision of this church, and really for us being here today. And the person who's speaking today is my wife, Christina, which I'm really excited about. And she is a great, great communicator, a great leader, a wonderful wife. And I'm excited for the next 40 minutes to hear from her. And come on, church, can we do this? I know we haven't done this yet on a Sunday, but we're gonna do this because I believe to show honor where honor's due. Can we do this as she comes forward? Can you stand to your feet and can you put your hands together for my wife, one of your pastors, Christina Burroughs? Come on, give it up for her.
He is not supposed to make me cry before I get up here. And also, he's now preached the announcements to you, so he's now into my time. So I got to speak really, really fast. You guys can be seated. I'm honored to speak this morning on the Living Word of God and to wrap up the Fresh Air series. I don't take this lightly. It is a weighty thing to handle the Word of God, and I am excited because I think he has a weighty word for you individually as well as corporately. I'm really excited, and I'm going to preach it by faith this morning. come on. And thank you. If you want to make noise throughout this, if you want to like, come on, amen. Just like Jeremy, we kind of share that in common. It's going to go a lot better and a lot quicker if you will amen a few things. It loosens up. It helps me loosen up a little bit. So you are more than welcome to do that. Okay, that's a little much. So I've actually entitled the message Superbook. And so maybe some of you might be familiar with Superbook, but it is essentially a cartoon. It is an animated cartoon and we watch a lot of cartoons. I am a mom of 3 under 6. So the Lord, I've learned to hear the Lord through cartoons. We watch a lot of them at my house. He can speak through anything. And Superbook is essentially an animated cartoon that allows the Bible to come to life. So it's got characters and things. It's literally like the living word of God. And it has a robot and then a little boy and a little girl, and they literally get transported into time and they get transported into the Bible so they can kind of experience the stories firsthand. So it's really neat. I learn a few things too. It's pretty cool. So I've entitled it Superbook to have some fun. And also, I have an exciting announcement about those of you that are parents that have kids and Catalyst Kids. It is our heart to disciple the whole family here. And so the Word of God, we have your kids for an hour and a half, and we love that because we believe God can do a work, but you are their pastors. We are not their pastors. You are their pastors. You are pastors 24/7. And so we want to equip you and put the tools in your hand so that we can partner together while they're here and they're in your living room every single day. And so there is a parent app called Parent Q, and I believe, yes, perfect. We have a picture of it. So you can even do that now before, you know, so you don't forget. And put it, look for it. It basically has the same video that we play during the service while we're worshiping, they're worshiping. And it's about 6 minutes, so it's really quick. We do it on Monday mornings at breakfast before school, and my kids have loved it. In fact, I love that they're like singing along, and before I even put it in, I'm like, what'd you guys learn? And they quote it, and then they want to watch it again. So it's really neat. It's for all ages. And then it has a memory verse, so you can kind of help them with that. It's fun. It's easy. And then a challenge. So it's like, hey, mom, talk to your kids about X, Y, and Z. Hey, dad, do it, you know, while you're taking them to soccer practice or whatever. So we want to put some practical tools in your hand so that you can pass to your kids. Does that sound good? Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to just pray before we go into the Word. I think that's always a good idea because He has far more to say to you than I could possibly do. And so I'm excited because I believe this Word is going to cut 1,000 different ways. There are 1,000 different situations in this room, and God wants to speak directly to your situation. And if you believe it in faith, say amen. Father, we thank You. What an honor, what a privilege it is to open Your Word this morning, God. We thank You that You have permission, Holy Spirit, to come and speak exactly to where we're at. God, give us a word of encouragement. Remind us of who You are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I should jump in since Jeremy took some of my time. I'm going to keep giving him little punches. So there's three foundational scriptures. I'm going to jump into those. And then what I want to do is spend the next couple minutes I have with you really unpacking three keys that I think are essential to really awakening the Word of God in our lives. And as a part of that, I'm going to open up. I'm going to share some stories of our personal walk on how we've done that. And hopefully that'll be encouragement to you as well. We are not perfect people. Surprise, surprise. We are just like you. We are people who love God, and we stepped out on a word of faith, and He has some words of faith that I believe that you're going to receive today because He wants you to do the same thing. We are excited to journey with you on this journey called life. So John 1, it's on the screens if you don't have your Bibles in front of you. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing. In other words, no thing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. That is speaking of Jesus. John 6:63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life, and nothing that human effort can accomplish. The very words I have spoken to you are spirit. In other words, pneuma. And life. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is our last kind of foundational scripture, so we can jump off. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for three things: for doctrine, sound doctrine, reproof and correction. Say, we all get he corrects those that He loves. It's a great process. And for three, instruction in righteousness, or in other words, right living with God. That the man, and man here means man and woman. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. Can you say thoroughly equipped? For every good work. So our first key as we jump in is faith activates the Word of God and obedience actually sets it into motion. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith like this. It is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So I would love to stand up here and tell you, oh yeah, I am a faith-filled water walker. Sometimes. Sometimes I am. But then I'm really human, just like everybody else. And so I have to constantly remind myself that it is impossible to please God without faith. And so how many know that you don't need faith if you're certain, right? If you have a certain situation. But you really need faith when you are hopeful for something, but you find yourself in circumstances and situations that are completely different than what you hope for. And that is much of life. And if you haven't experienced it yet, you will hold on for the ride. Because there are lots of life that happens, lots of circumstances. And if we want to grow in our faith, we have to expect and understand that there are going to be some situations in life that will be completely opposite of what you actually heard. Right? So God says something, but then you find yourself in that situation, right? You feel like, hey, I know this next job or promotion is for me, and then your colleague gets it. Okay, or, God's given you a word about having children, and it hasn't happened yet, and years go by. It hasn't happened yet, but you have faith for it because that's what God spoke to you, as you should. But those situations are painful, I don't take them lightly. Like, they are hard seasons. However, God is faithful. And what I thought to do today is there's a couple traps I have found that I have been fought really hard. And the enemy, I've allowed him to eat my lunch a time or two. And what I've learned are there actually some tactics, some strategies that he deploys, because how many know that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy your life? and he has a strategy, but I want to unveil it to you. And for some of you, no matter where you're at on this spectrum of this journey with God, some of this may be new to you, but some of you, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I've seen that happen before. And so what I want to do is I want to unveil the strategy, the tactics of the enemy, because I want to put you on the offense, not the defense. Because when, and I was an athlete, I know that might shock some of you guys, but I was. And I didn't really, how many know defense is not as fun as offense, right? Like, you want to be on the winning team. You want to be scoring the baskets, right? And so I believe God has given us the tools and he's given us secrets to be on the offense. We are not on the defense with this guy. Okay, so with the enemy, he's got these tactics, and he's not very smart. He keeps using them over and over and over and again, but they look different because of the situation changes. So what I want to do is I want to share two that have really been, I'm going to just say they've kind of eaten my lunch a time or two. But I promised God, I was like, I'm going to, not only am I going to overcome, but then I'm going to kick him in his teeth, because I'm going to deploy hundreds of other people to do the same thing. So he is going to be very sorry that he messed with me. So the first one is the worries of life. Tactic number one, he wants to get you distracted with the worries of life. Matthew 4, it even talks about a farmer who sows a seed, which is the word of God, and then all these other things kind of choke it out. The worries of life choke it out, and it is easy to do. And I don't care how spiritual you want to be, life happens to us all, and it takes the wind out of you sometimes, right? It takes the breath out of you. It's like, man, I got sucker punched, and it came out of nowhere. And I just want to tell you that the enemy, that is exactly what he wants to do. He is a, just like God will put you up in divine setups, he'll almost give you a setup that's like, it's for the opposite purpose, right? So he puts you in some setups and some circumstances. Not everything's, not behind every rock is a devil, okay? But there are a lot of life that he absolutely is like, oh yeah, kind of like Job. We'll see how much you love God, and you will be tested. And so what happens here is that we have to go ahead and get resolution in our hearts of hearts to say, God, I refuse to allow the word of God, what you said to me, be choked out by all the worries of this life, because they're distracting me. Maybe they're financial worries. Maybe they're relationship problems. Maybe there's all kind of things that we could give a dirty list, right? A laundry list of worries, of things to worry about, right? Are my kids in the right school? I mean, it could be innocent. Right? Their teachers or their relationships or whatever. He will use anything to distract us. And I want to give you an antidote for the worry. So the moment you start seeing the worries kind of flooding, and it kind of manifests itself in fear, overwhelming, paralyzing fear, anxiety, stress, all these things. When you kind of start to sense those coming on, I want you to wield your sword. The sword of the Spirit. I want you to take the word of God, and I want you to, I'm going to give you two antidotes to, guys, this is so in me. I didn't even want to use my notes. I'm like fired up and completely not even on my notes anymore. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you, here's two of them, but I want to challenge you. Go look them up yourself. Go do your homework this week and get into the word of God yourself and find the ones that you can fight with. But here's two I'm going to give you. The antidote for worry, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Psalms 55:22. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So the moment, and let me tell you, you're going to say it once. You're going to meditate and say it once, and he's going to come back twice as hard. So you got to keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. Get some other brothers and sisters around you. Jeremy preached last week about relationships. Can I tell you, let me help you out, spouses. Like, when I'm battling something, not only am I fighting it with the word, but I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell my husband. I'm going to tell a close girlfriend or girlfriends to get around me, right? Where two or more gathered. Father, surround yourself with other people who can hold your arms up when you get tired, because we all get tired. We all get tired of fighting. The second tactic that the enemy uses, and I know that none of you in the DMV area struggle with this, so I'm just going to put it out there, but overthinking and rationalization. Now, for those of you who are familiar with personality assessments, I am a total ENTJ, which means I like to plan and I think way too much, way too much. He can look at my face and be like, stop it. you're thinking. What are you thinking about? Like I don't even understand it. He's like, stop thinking. I'm like, it is impossible for me to stop thinking. I cannot. And so, which is very important. So some of you are already prone to thinking too much, right? It's just a personality thing, right? You're wired a certain way. So not only do you have the personal fight going on, but then you have this other thing that is the atmosphere around us. It's the culture around us. Okay, so it's secularism and humanism, which is a rational way of solving problems all on your own without the acknowledgement of the supernatural God who created you. Which, to be honest with you, if we break that thing down, it actually comes down to pride at the root of it, because we think that we actually know better than the one who created us. Now, when you hear it like that, you're like, oh, no, I don't think that. But we all fall into it. We're saying, like, actually, God, I think I got this. I actually think that I can figure this out. And the way that it happens, we don't do that on purpose. We don't literally say, hey, God, I think I got this. But what happens is the problem comes. The worries of the life starts coming at us. And we think, oh, we're going to go try to solve that. We don't do the old, wait, you know what? Let me just pray about this first. Let me put God above this problem. And it happens to all of us. I've done it more times than I would like to admit to you. So much so, the enemy would love to tell me I'm disqualified to even tell you that. But I say I'm even more qualified because I know it. I know how to over-rationalize. I know how to overthink. And I'm telling you right now that God is delivering me from that, because we have a work to do. And I cannot get distracted by that mess, and neither can you. So I'm going to give that to you, and let me give you the antidote. Let me give you two antidotes before I get really real. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So you got to stand right in the midst of it, and you got to tell him, get behind me. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward with God. And I'm going to get real personal. So a couple years ago, Jeremy and I, I was actually in a place where I was just praying for more spiritual gifts. We're all born. We've got some natural spiritual gifts. And then also just saying, like, God, I can pray for more. I want more. And for me, I was asking God for more generosity in my life. So I was saying, God, I want to, you know, press down, shaken together, runneth over, God. I want that kind of generosity. I love being around generous people because it seems like it never runs out. There's a joy of the Lord that comes with being generous, because it's almost like you've got a revelation that our Father owns it all. So why in the world? Why does there need to be stingy? Right? And so I was working with it. Okay? Now remember what I said about faith. You're not going to grow in your faith area in anything that you ask for unless you are in a circumstance that's going to cause you to do that. So I'm not saying don't pray for it, just be ready for it. So Jeremy and I are in our local church body, and I felt the Lord kind of just prompt me. I kept seeing this lady that we knew really well, and it's like, give your vehicle away. And I'm like, that is not from God. It's not from God. Why would he have me give a vehicle away? That is crazy town. Like, man, Christina, you have really lost it. And so, you know, a couple weeks go by. I don't even tell Jeremy. I'm like, oh, God, this is crazy. Like, we can't afford this. Here goes, worries of the life. Overthinking, rationalization. I'm like, God, this is going to mess up the plan. I can't do that. This means that we won't be able to do X, Y, and Z if we do this. Like, we can't. Doesn't add up. So finally, I get the courage to tell Jeremy, and I say, hey, Jer, I don't know. I'm just submitting this to you secretly, thinking he's going to be like, no, this is not from God. And he says, okay, let me think about that. So he thinks and prays another week or two. And finally, about, let's say, a month to 6 weeks in, Jeremy comes in and he goes, we got to do it. We got to just do it. Just do it. Because when it's the Holy Spirit, like when it's the Lord prompting you to do something, he is not going to let it go. You know why? Because he is so excited to release the blessing and the generosity of God on the other side of this. He is going to be relentless. And it is going to feel a little like conviction. Not because he's trying to, if you go back to the 2 Timothy verse, he's trying to kind of correct thinking, right? He's trying to get us into God thinking. And he's also trying to teach us. because he knows what's ahead. There's a lot bigger faith steps ahead of us that we don't know about at this point. Hello, church. And we don't know this. And we also didn't know a couple other things. So we do this. You fast forward a couple weeks later. And I hate car shopping, by the way. I think it's awful. And I just don't. I don't like it. It gets me just a little anxious. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, because I'm seeing, you know, dollars and cents. And I'm like, oh, I don't like this. And I don't like the decisions that have to go into it and the whole nine yards. And so that was a little fearful for me, was that piece, too. But can I tell you that the Lord effortlessly led us to the right vehicle? Effortlessly. It didn't even hurt. Okay. Debt-free. Walked away without a payment. And we found out that we were pregnant with our third child. So I didn't even know that I was pregnant. And that vehicle that I gave away would not fit three car seats. So I had no idea. Not only did I not know that, but the other thing that was going on was we were wrestling. We had walked through a very hard season, a painful season before that. And we were asking God, what is the direction? We feel like you're transitioning us. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We were just wide open. And that is when the Lord began to speak catalyst to us. And not only in that, literally a week later, crazy God-only doors opened, critical conversations that absolutely had to happen for the pathway to kind of become clear of what our next steps were. And so only God. Now, most people would look at this and say, well, rationally, what the heck does giving away a vehicle and that have to do with each other? I don't know. But that is how God works. I am telling you, we firmly believe, we knew in our spirit, had we not given the vehicle away in obedience, I don't know that those doors would have opened. But God in his goodness, this is why his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And this is why if we stay in small-minded thinking, and I don't mean that to do, I think we are awesome in God. But when we think that we are the smartest person in the room, above the one who created us, we got to check ourselves. He's got far bigger. If you want to limit yourself, go ahead and keep doing it. But I am challenging you, church, that you are a part of Catalyst in this movement. What God wants to do is bigger than any of us, Jeremy and I included. He wants to do a great thing, a big thing. Do you know that I believe within the heart of hearts, Jeremy and I believe this, that there are solutions to the world problems sitting right in this room. They're in you. The next medicine that to cure diseases that we don't even know, it's in you. You're at NIH for a reason. You think it's just for your career, but God says you're here to be there. He needs to remind you that this is bigger than you. Man, I just love this. Come on, God's speaking to me. Give me a moment. Second point, second key, revelation activates faith. Revelation activates faith. There are two words for the word of God. Number one is logos. Logos is the written word. It's the word that you read. It appeals to your intellect. Okay? We're real familiar with that in our culture. Real familiar. And then there's rhema. And a rhema word is actually you're reading the logos and the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit illuminates the text and it reads you. And it cuts directly to your situation. So we can read the same scripture. He speaks to you about your situation and you about your situation. Why? Because he's good like that. And he's bigger than we are. And so if we get that and we can understand that there is no situation, can you say no situation that God cannot handle? So I want us to start reading the Bible like that. He wants, come expecting. Come expecting that he wants to speak to you. He'll wait all day long for you. Maybe for some of you, he's waited your entire life thus far. He's not changing, he's not moving because he's a good, good father. And he doesn't move. He's after you. That's never changed. The plan for humanity has never changed. He wants his kids, but he wants so much more for us. But we got to shift our perspective and how he speaks and what he wants to speak. And I think the most beautiful example of this is found in Luke 1, 30 through 38, where literally the word becomes flesh in Mary's belly. And it is the Christmas story that we affectionately call, everybody reads about the Christmas story. And there's so much more to this text than meets the eye. And an angel appears to Mary. Scholars believe she's somewhere between 13 and 16 years old. And so she's a mere child. And the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, hey, you're gonna be pregnant with the Son of God. And he goes on, and we'll go ahead and pick up in verse 30. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And she responds, and here's a great example of what I believe to be kind of a logos hearing. It's a logos word. She heard the word. And she says, how will this be? Remember we talked about worries of this life, overthinking, rationalization. Now, she's 13, but she's quite capable of thinking through the consequences of going home and telling mom and dad. She's quite capable of understanding that this is probably not going to go well. People are not going to really hear this it could cost her life, quite frankly. She understands that going to her fiance to be like, hey, babe, so this thing happened, right? Like, this is not going to go over well for her. And so you can see her first response. I think that's why the angel said, don't be afraid. I know what I'm telling you is going to mess with your rationale, even as a 13 to 16-year-old girl. Still going to mess with you, but I need you to hear it with your spirit. Let's keep going. Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 36, he goes on to build her faith. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. Old age, meaning rationale. God's messing with it again. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. Verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. Another version, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, broken down in the Greek, means no thing will be impossible if you receive the word of God with your ears of your spirit, not just of your logos, your intellect, your mind, if you will hear it with your spirit, no thing. I'm sorry, I'm stuck on no thing because I feel like some of you, God has spoken some things that you're like, rationale, your overthinking is on overdrive and you're like having a hard time receiving it. And I feel like this morning, the Lord, this no thing is for you. It's for you. No thing will be impossible for you. Here's where it turns rhema. I am the Lord's servant. Mary says, may your word be to me, or word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. You got it, Mary. You heard it. You heard it in your spirit this morning. You heard it with the ears of your spirit. And that is exactly what I needed to happen. Because we know the rest of the story. This literally, the story of the gospel unfolds. Because this girl received a word. And she had no idea. She probably was thinking it was all about her in the moment. She had no idea it was about the entirety of humanity. And I feel like this morning, too, I want to remind you, this word that you're wrestling with, it may be in your spirit this morning, you think it's about you, but it's actually not. It's about all the people and all the lives that, by your faith, you're going to bless so many others. And I shared that story earlier about the vehicle and catalyst because Jeremy and I, just being really transparent, when God spoke to us about the church, I was pregnant. I was working full-time, two toddlers, the level of exhaustion, there were no words to describe. There was a lot of faith steps that needed to happen, and there was no tangible evidence on the other side of that God was going to show up other than the word of God that we had. Jeremy was about to leave a stable income. Talk about stress. Talk about being a human, right? You guys can be walking with me here. So this is where I am. And I began to say, God, you better give me a word. You better give me a word. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. You better give me a word to know that this is from you. Like, I need to know that I know that I know this is from you. And I remember the Lord speaking to me very clearly. In fact, I put it on a pillow. Yeah. So, guys, you probably are like, what? You put it on a pillow? Girls, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the one where you can, like, go and put your, like, family crest on a canvas pillow or, like, put a scripture. And I knew, like, I don't typically do that kind of stuff, but I was like, no, no, no. I'm going to write it on my walls. I need it on my couch. Like, everywhere I look, I need to see this word to remind me of what the heck we're doing and why we're doing it. Because I am scared out of my mind, okay? So he gives me Isaiah 55:12. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Can I help you out? Ask Jeremy. I was not joyful. I had a lot of pregnancy hormones running through my body, and I was tired. And be led forth in peace. This situation, there were lots of situations along the path that didn't feel peaceful. Like, it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy road to walk. And God said, you're going to have peace. You're going to be released in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song for you. Now, the situation and circumstance did not align with this word, okay? But I said, all right, God, I'm going to hold on to it. And he reminded me, Christina, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Ways are his behavior, like behavior and activity. Thoughts are the ideas and plans. So neither one of them, I was like, this is not how I would do it. Yeah, well, I'm glad. Glad it's not your plan, Christina, and it's my plan, right? So we're walking this out, and that season of my life was Matthew 4:4, literally walked out. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. I don't know if life has served you up some situations where you're literally going to have to eat the word of God to sustain you. But it will. Get ready. You want to run with God? You want to live out your potential, your purpose that we believe God has called you on the earth for, then you will have a season where you have to eat the word of God and crave it more than anything else. And I believe that he made us that way. So it's real sweet. Tastes like honey. Not at the time. It will later. All right, that brings us to our third key. Meditation activates revelation. So meditation actually is translated here as chewing like a cow chews cud. So for those of you who maybe are like, that is disgusting, I agree. But I grew up, I am now a city girl, and I think I've always been a city girl, but I grew up on a farm, so I just think it's ironic and hilarious that we live in the city. But when I remember being on the farm, I would be like, oh, why do they slobber so much? Like, they're just constantly just, like, slobber coming out of the cows. You've seen it. They just sit there and chew and chew and chew. And that's essentially what this idea of meditating, right, or chewing on something can look like in our own lives. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, consider what I say. Chew on it, if you will. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. He'll give you revelation if you chew on it. And we don't like to chew on things because we live in D.C. and we're like the go-get-em people. We're like, come on, check that off my list. I got to go on, move on to the next thing. But he's saying, you got to chew on it. There's some things that you're just going to have to chew on because you're going to need it later. It'll come up right when you need it because you've chewed on it and you've hidden it in your heart. It'll come up right when you need it. The Holy Spirit will remind you and you'll be able to fight for your life. Because there are many moments in life that you're going to have to pull out your sword, if you will. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Ephesians 6:16 actually compares or says that the word of God is a sword. So in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which we've talked about, which will help you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one who's come to kill, steal, and destroy you. And take the helmet of salvation. You know what decision you made or will make at some point. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So these are your weapons. So he doesn't leave us defenseless. He says, I'm going to equip you, right? Remember 2 Timothy? I'm going to equip you for every good work. So he's equipping us to fight. The good fight of faith. Is this all coming together? I'm just glad to get this out of me and give it to you now. Now you're responsible for it. So this began me kind of on a journey. I started studying swords. And if there are any professional sword sharpeners in here, or if you have like done this professionally, please come talk to me after service. Let me know if I get my facts straight, all that fun stuff. But there's typically two reasons why you would need to sharpen your sword. And the first one would be because it's just been dormant and you kind of set it on your shelf and you didn't use it, kind of like a kitchen knife, right? If you don't use your kitchen knife, it's going to get dull. So when you go to cut it, you're going to have to take a few minutes and actually start sharpening it again. But then also, if you've been in the heat of battle and you have been wielding that thing, it's also going to get dull, right? Because you killed a lot of things. And so you were sharpening it and you just got tired. And that's okay. It needs to, you're gonna face another battle. And so you better get sharpening it again. Get it battle ready. So whether you are on like this side of the continuum or this side or somewhere in between, the whole point here is, you guys can probably fill it in, sharpen your sword. So I started kind of researching, what does it look like to like sharpen your sword or your blade? And let's just pretend for a moment that this is a whetstone, which is what it typically gets sharpened on. And sometimes they'll lubricate it with like oil or water, depending on the type of blade. And this is us. We are the whetstone, okay? And then the word of God is the sword. And then what happens is as we meditate on a verse or two, it's gonna just begin to, I don't know if you guys can hear this. Hear the friction? It doesn't sound fun, does it? And neither does the word of God sometimes when you're chewing it. I don't like everything the word of God says. Don't like it. Doesn't mean it's not good for me, just like I don't like Brussels sprouts. But it's still good for me. And so that's just part of growing up, right? Like my kids are like, I don't like peas. I'm like, I don't care. Peas are good for you, so you're going to eat them. Anyways, God's a little nicer than that. But as we grow up, we got to eat our Brussels sprouts. And it hurts sometimes because we might be walking over here and God's actually like, his word is like over here. And we've got to kind of like, as he's massaging this into our life, we got to step into alignment. It's not our job to take the Bible and to fit it into the way that we want to live. It doesn't work like that. We have to align ourselves with the word of God because he made us. He knows what's best for us. But again, it gets back to that pride of saying, I know better. And until you deal with that, you can't even get into alignment because your body's always, you know, you're always just fighting internally. So you got to settle that and then get into alignment with God's word and let it work you. Work you. Work it, work it, work it. I think that's a song, but I don't do R&B rap stuff like he does. So I'm just going to do me. So maybe it sounds a little like this. So we've sharpened our sword, and what's it for? To look pretty on the wall? No. It is for fighting the good fight of faith. So when the enemy looks at when the enemy's whispering in your ear and it sounds like, hey, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. That dream's never going to happen. Who are you kidding? You're not qualified for that job. Why would you apply? You're not good enough to be a parent. You kidding me? Your kids are acting the fool. Who you think you are? You're not good enough to marry her. You can't even ask her on a date. My goodness. He is working it, and he's whispering in your ear, you know what you need to do? You need to take this sword, and you need to wield it at his face. And it has taken too long for me to learn this because I am a tough chick, and I have just gritted my teeth, and I've bared it. And you know what? There's something really powerful when you allow the word of God, your breath, to speak the breath of God. Something shifts in the atmosphere of your life. It is powerful. And if I were the enemy, I would want to get your eyes on the circumstances and the worries of this life and start having you come into agreement with that and complaining and whining. And I have done my fair share, and I am done because he is a liar. He is a liar, and it keeps me trapped, and it keeps me going around the same mountain over and over and over and over. And wisdom says, open your mouth, speak the word of God, and say, I don't think so. God formed me in my mother's womb, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are his works. when God when the enemy begins to get in your other ear and he says, oh, well, you're not lovable. You're too messed up. He left you. She left you. You're not good enough. Your mom and daddy told you that you weren't good enough. You wouldn't amount to anything. I'm getting serious right now because the enemy is serious. He's serious about taking you out. And he's a below the belt punch, like, I'm about to say something else, but that's what he does. He gets right below the belt and he gives you the hard ones that are difficult and they're painful. And you need to come right back at him and say, I don't think so. God's made me a new creation. That's who I am. And that he has fearfully and wonderfully made me. Marvelous are his works, regardless of what you think about me. Guys, we got to get serious about this because he's serious about you. You are a threat to him in the kingdom of darkness. Once you get that revelation on the inside of you and start wielding your sword, it's going to feel awkward at first. It feels awkward up here throwing this sword, right? But I'd rather feel awkward and starting to use it then just lay down my sword and die. Because that is what happens. We die a slow death as we allow him to eat your lunch day after day. And nobody knows. You are made for more. You are made for more. So this week, I want to challenge you. I want you to take these three things that we talked about this week, these keys, and I want you to begin to unlock them. The first was faith. What is the word? I want you to add your faith, your works, to the word. What is he asking you to step out on that maybe you haven't? I had people come up to me after the first service saying, man, that hit me right in. Man, God had been speaking to me for a month about this thing. But when you said that, I said, that's it. I'm going home and I'm writing the check to this person he told me to write it to. That's what I'm talking about. Do it this week. This week. That's the other thing. Delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. I have delayed obedience so many times. And you know what I did? I just delayed the blessing. That's what I did. I did it to myself. He wanted to release it all along, but I couldn't get my hands off of it. What is God asking you to step out in faith this week? The second thing is going to be to ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the eyes of your understanding as you read the text. Don't ever approach it the same way you did before. Come to that logos and say, God, illuminate my eyes. Let me see. Let me hear. Let me hear with my spirit. And thirdly, find a verse, just one this week. Whatever the enemy's eating your lunch about, find one verse to fight him. And do it over and over and over and over and over until you feel like you get some traction and some victory. So I don't want to end the service without kind of asking two questions. The first question I have is really for a group of people who you're saying, you know what, I feel like I put the sword on the shelf and it's gotten a little dull. And I want a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit to illuminate my eyes so that I can actually read and hear what the Lord is speaking to me. And I want to pray with that group. And then I also want to pray with a group that maybe this is new news to you, and you're hearing this gospel of Jesus and how much he loves you and how much he's given us tools to fight the good fight of faith, and you want to be a part of that, and you're like, me too. I want you to have an opportunity to make that decision and that commitment, and as a church family, we're going to come around you. We're going to join you and make that as, we're going to walk with you and talk with you, and heaven wouldn't be the same without you. And you know what? Jesus, it wouldn't be the same for him either. And Father God, he weeps over one, just one. He wants all of his kids to come into relationship and begin to walk in power. So for that first group, just out of obedience and not obedience, reverence, right? Reverence, because we don't have to close our eyes or any of the, not the religious duty, but just out of reverence for people so they can have a personal moment with God. I just want you to close your eyes. And if that's you and you're saying, hey, I'm that first group you talked about. I need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need a fresh vision. I need my eyes to be opened at new levels. I want the word to come alive in your life. Could you just give me a hand wave? Awesome. I see your hands. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for your sons and daughters who are crying out this morning to say, Father, we want all of you. We want everything that you have for us, God. God, I ask you for just a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit in their lives, God, that you would open the eyes of their understanding, Father, as they read your word, that it would literally begin to read them. God, I thank you, Father, that reading the Bible will never be the same. God, we thank you for bringing it alive in their lives personally, and that we would hear even testimonies this week of what you've spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were a part of that second group, go ahead and let's just keep our eyes closed just out of reverence for those making that personal decision. If you'd like to make that decision for maybe the first time or a recommitment to Christ this morning, would you just raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see you to know who I'm praying with? If that's a decision you want to make this morning, that is the most important decision that we can make. Thank you. All right, church family, why don't you pray with me out loud? We're going to exercise our breath this morning and come into agreement with those making the decision for the first time. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to the cross for our sins. And we just ask you right now, we believe that you raised from the dead to give us new life, and we want that new life this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.